Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Oh, you know, I miss that guy's voice when I don't hear it. Dave Solomon, always doing an outstanding job. I'm so glad he decided that he was going to do that for me to open up the show each and every time. It is a beautiful day in Baltimore, Maryland, USA. Hopefully, wherever it is where you are is splendid. Thank you so much for joining me on this awesome Thursday. We were not here on Tuesday because Ma Bear had a little problem with her voice. About twice a year, we get laryngitis. Could be a little scratchy today. It's okay. Just happens. It's been happening ever since 1976 when I got involved in radio. Yes, I'm that old. We have a great show. We're going to be all over the place today. Hope you don't mind, but that's why we call it hybrid. And not only are we going to have some strong musical selections, but Kyle Wolverton will be with us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour, the last hour of the show. It's always 3 hours on Tuesday and Thursday. Just so you know, starting on June the 12th, for 2 weeks, it's going to be 5 to 8 at night, just so I can accommodate my son. Keep that in mind, okay? As is the usual case, we start out with something that's a little bit classic. I'll say classic and a half this time. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy with Grant Green on guitar. Thank you.
Right to be afraid, but how can you pull back on me now? Don't you make truth or dare. I ain't got 20 questions for you, just one thing to declare. Just to read my lips, yes, I think you can. Just read my lips, and you love me, say. Baby, read my lips, and you can read my mind. Just read my lips, baby, one more time.
Mercy. Every time I hear that song, and I've been hearing that song for a long time, oh my goodness. Sometimes you just have history with some pieces of music, right? So here I am, after having a career in country music radio from 1976 till 2000 something, early in the decade, and hearing that song back then, in 1989, from State of the Heart, I thought to myself, you know, this really doesn't sound like your typical country music song. And Mary Chapin Carpenter never was. She was actually a folkie who drove her private school friends crazy, and they threatened to break her guitar strings because she would play Peter, Paul, and Mary leaving on a jet plane all the time back in the day. She decided that she was going to leave her home base of Princeton, New Jersey, and make her way into Washington, D.C., where she met John Jennings, who you just heard on guitar. Man, did they form an alliance. Basically, you have a folky girl who was marketed as country, but actually, she really has the makings of being a superior jazz singer. So, Mary Chapin, if you're listening, honey, I think that you might be somewhere down the line. Consider that. Read my lips. And our friend Beej in California just told me that it's Clint Eastwood's birthday today. I promise you, I did not necessarily make that association. I wanted to play the song by Mary Chapin a couple of weeks ago, but I kept postponing it. So today was the perfect day. Read my lips. That's fabulous. Mary Chapin's going to be at Wolf Trap in the summertime. She had an aneurysm in her lung a couple of years ago. We almost lost her. So she's got a new lease on life. And, man, if you get a Mary Chapin CD, get State of the Heart. It's really a wonderful, wonderful CD, and she's had quite a few of them. We heard two from Bela Fleck, the banjo man. See, I knew that there was a reason why I played Bela and Mary Chapin back-to-back, because there is quite a relationship there, and I'll tell you why. The song that we heard is called Sex in a Pan, written by Victor Wooten, who plays bass for Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, or at least he did. He's got his own thing going on now. And that's from the CD back in 1992, UFO Tofu. What? Yeah, I thought that too. But actually, that title is a palindrome. I think that's how you pronounce it, which is a sequence of units or words, actually, that can be read the same anyway, or backwards in this case, because tofu is UFO with an added T. UFO Tofu, the name of the CD. And Bela, what an interesting guy he is, because he was named after Austrian, Czech, and Hungarian classical composers. But no, what did he gravitate to? Earl Scruggs on banjo when he saw the Beverly Hillbillies. Yikes! So he got together with a bunch of folks, showed promise very early, also one of those highly educated guys that learned his lessons well. And he got involved eventually with a guy named Sam Bush. And Sam said, why don't you join my group called Newgrass Revival? That is how I got to know Bela back in the day in the 1990s in Nashville, this progressive bluegrass band was the shiggity. Can I just say, unbelievable. John Cowan was on high vocals, very high range. And then Sam and Bela got to work with Doc Watson, who just passed away, just left us at the age of 89. So I was thinking about all this stuff and thinking about Mary Chapin, because you knew that Mary Chapin and Bela knew each other way back when, and now they're traveling in some circles that are very, very cool. Bela Fleck had Howard Levy on that particular track and on the album. That was the last one before Howard Levy left the group. He was on harmonicas and piano. And Future Man, a.k.a. Roy Wooten, Victor's brother, was playing synth axe drumitar. Thank you very much. We heard at the top of the hour Grant Green, number one, Green Street, the name of that track, from Green Street, the name of the CD, recorded on April Fool's Day, 1961. Grant Green was so in demand, we cannot even say. This was his second CD as leader, one of six he recorded for Blue Note. He was in demand as a sideman, but showed so much as a leader because he had that technique down, plus he had soul, and yet he made everything so spare. He had on bass Ben Tucker and Dave Bailey on drums. Some people say that Grant Green was the father of acid jazz. He was doing things on that guitar that nobody else was doing. If you want to go into some kind of discography, go check him out. I believe that there is a grantgreen.com. I wasn't paying attention this time around because there's so much to do, but I did want to play him because the remembrance of his birthday is coming up on June the 6th. He was born in 1935 and passed away in 1979. Sideman with the best, Herbie Hancock, Hank Mobley, Stanley Turrentine, but he was among the best ever on guitar, and you could certainly hear that. Our guest coming up at the top of the third and final hour of the show is Kyle Wolverton. Haven't heard from him for a while. Anxious to hear what's going on. Yeah. And we have to give a little tip of the hat to somebody that a lot of us thought of when Memorial Day weekend was going on. And why? It's because visionary that he was, he wrote a song that was very controversial several years ago about the Vietnam War, 19. And I just wanted to say thank you to Paul Hardcastle because he made it a point to touch on something that nobody else was really touching. What happens when soldiers come back from a war like that? We were thinking about different kinds of things here at the house over the weekend and in conversation with different folks. Maybe that's why I had laryngitis. But I wanted to play this because it's certainly appropriate to this time of year. Paul Hardcastle, Peace on Earth on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
event to live again. Conditions of mankind we living in, delivering us to a state of emergency. I guess God has given us a call for courtesy. Hope I'm awake to hear it. I hear it. I hear it, the spirit of Gil. I hear it, the spirit of Will. Power in the hour of chaotic theory. No rest for the weary, no stress when you hear me. I guess perseverance prepared me for an opportunity knocked down the walls. Calls from grandmothers, mothers, aunts, uncles, sons. A time for young men to be born and manhood begun. I only run for salvation. The sun tells a story that says give God the glory. I give it and live it as pure as possible. Conversations with the world, but the world's not always logical. As the weather blows every which way, I take a look at the day and say thank you. How can I help?
For the train to Jordan,
Sometimes you don't expect the kind of reaction that you have when you hear a song. I haven't heard that for a while, and I just thought it would be cool to play because the great Curtis Mayfield, oh my goodness, if he was with us on June the 3rd, he would have turned 70. Yeah. Born June the 3rd, 1942. Passed away the day after Christmas in 1999. What a life. Oh, my God. If you want to hear about some kind of career and some kind of guy and the influence that he created, and especially with a song like that, 1965, People Get Ready, learned those kinds of thoughts in church where he would hear that all the time. Be ready when he comes. People get ready. Do we need to hear that song these days? Lord, yes. I am telling you what, every time we turn around, we are losing someone. Curtis Mayfield had the right to do anything he wanted to do. Dad left the family when Curtis was a youngin', and Mom took the kids and lived in Chicago projects, one of them in the Cabrini Project, I think it was, where Curtis lived. And if you knew anything about doing any history about big city projects, it is a wonder you had anything at all inside your spirit to get up off your arse and make something of your life. But lo, did he did. Multi-instrumentalist pioneer took his R&B that he was so familiar with and all the church music that he learned as a little guy coming up, and then added pretty courageous social commentary and anti-drug songs in a time when everybody and his mama was popping stuff, Superfly, blaxploitation, we just called it blaxploitation films back in Philly. Curtis Mayfield was just beloved in Philadelphia, and he, just so creative. He was self-taught on these instruments, and on the guitar, he would tune it to the black keys on the piano. So he had a different sound from jump, and he was so in demand as a person who made other people's sounds better in Chicago. Man, and back in 2000 it was that he had that accident. If you never heard this story, he had one of those, they were setting up for a show, and he had one of those big lights. I think it was a light that fell on him, and it paralyzed him. And still, he kept on keeping on. He was bedbound, and he still recorded. And all of those recordings were done from him lying on his back. You talk about fortitude, there is not a whole bunch like Curtis Mayfield. Curtis and the Impressions, what a great group that was, People Get Ready. And, of course, always has a big part of my heart because he started out with Jerry Butler and a singing group. Jerry Butler is one of the best there is ever. Kenneth Whalum, you talk about being one of the best. He scares me to death, not because of any negative reason, but because he is so good. Kenneth Whalum III, dad is Kenneth Whalum Jr., pastor of New Olivet Baptist Church in Memphis, where Kenneth III cut his teeth. And you heard a track that was done with Common called It Was Written from a stellar CD called To Those Who Believe. Composer, arranger, band leader, and actually, to my ears, and folks might disagree or whatever, makes no never mind. When I hear this youngin', I hear young John Coltrane. And I know Kirk Whalum, Uncle Kirk, would go, what? But I do. On this particular CD, and I hear he's working on a new one, because this was from 2010, Robert Glasper on piano, that would be enough right there. Derek Hodge on bass, and Chris Daddy Dave on drums. Unbelievable. How I found out more information about Kenneth, because he doesn't have a website. He's got stuff on Facebook and MySpace. He's too dang busy. Seriously, if you go to, I love this, twodopeboys.com, you'll find out about the work he's done with Maxwell and Puff Daddy or Sean Combs or whatever he's calling himself this week. An amazing in-demand saxophonist, and you're going to hear a lot more. Man, I love this cat. Also, Paul Hardcastle, UK composer, musician, band leader, visionary. That was Peace on Earth from Hardcastle 2 from 1996. Man, don't you know I was playing Rainforest over the weekend in 19, going back in time. This whole show, Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy, has changed flavors a couple of times in the past several days. I was going to play another saxophonist, decided against it, because little revelation, the closer I heard this sax guy play, the more I thought, man, those musicians were all over the page. So I was trying to think of some cohesive players, like what you just heard with Kenneth Whalum III, and I came up with a bunch. And then I thought, you know what, I really want to do something special for a couple of gals who listen to the show all the time, my brides of Funkenstein. So I thought, you know, talk about cohesion. Who comes to mind? Greg Adams, I thought. Yes, East Bay Soul. Let's turn our attention to Catch a Thief, shall we? From East Bay Soul 2.0, or 2.0 if you prefer, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Yoo-hoo! Thank you.
its wandering way, and the small cloud and my small hopes seem to drift along in the passing day, like two friends who are lost in a world that hardly knows they're even there as they're passing by. It has been so few times as the years pass that I slow down to this small day while the earth moves and my thoughts drift around like a small cloud blown around the vast blue sky, like a small cloud in this blue sky. I am blown around by an unseen wind and the small gathering storm waits to have its turn to turn the clouds to fall in rain, and I wonder how or if I will remember this day. The turn of the passing day.
my goodness. Song is 7 minutes. I could do another 7 minutes of that song. Oh, my gosh. Not only because it's Kenny Barron and I have a crush. Okay, you feel better now? I got it out. Kenny Barron on keyboard. His birthday is coming up on June the 9th. 69, never looked so good. Man, that is tasty stuff. Going back to 2008 and The Traveler with Ann Hampton Calloway on vocals. And that song was called Clouds. Ann had a big birthday yesterday. Ann, wherever you are, I know that you are singing or doing something creative or positive because that's who you are. I can't tell you enough about this lady, a multi-platinum artist with an itinerary this summer into the fall, into the winter, into next year. Oh, yes. She is booked. She is amazing. If the theme song from The Nanny strikes a chord with you, that's Ann Hampton Calloway. If many songs from Barbara Streisand strike a chord with you, check for the writing credits, Ann Hampton Calloway. And she was in the Broadway show Swing! Exclamation point. She does it all. And some of the time she does it with her sister, who is also a formidable singer. Talent is so rampant in that family. It's unbelievable. So I think that we should have Anne on the show sometime soon. Just, you know, not the usual folks that you hear on a jazz show, but this, then again, is hybrid jazz from Trish Hennessy, so we like to do things different. Just love that. The Traveler. There are some wonderful vocals on there from Anne, from Grady Tate, and from Gretchen Parlato, and then the mastery of the keyboard from Kenny Barron. Great CD. Let me tell you what about Kenny. If you are in the area or want to plan a day trip, let me see here. When is it going to be? I'm just checking the date. He is going to be, oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, this close. Next week, the 4th, at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., Kenny will have his classical jazz quartet with him, Lewis Nash, Ron Carter, and Stefan Harris. You cannot get better than that, all right? All right. And speaking of better, best, extraordinary, the late, great Wayman Tisdale, we heard as that second track. And that was Can't Hide Love from Face to Face back in 2001. Just reading the story all over again about Wayman and Wayman being always in love with bass guitar more than he was playing basketball. But, of course, we know about how successful he was in basketball, three-time All-American at the University of Oklahoma, his beloved Oklahoma. So outstanding was he that there is a freshman award in the NCAA, and it's called the Wayman Tisdale Award for someone who has shown outstanding promise. Amazing. A basketball and musical giant, and his birthday, June the 9th, 1964, he passed away. Hard to believe, May 15th, 2009. It's been 3 years. That's something to ponder, huh? I'll never forget the times that I just hung around him. Even worse for my friend Lori Lewis, who was program director at WSMJ in Baltimore, and she got to know him pretty well. And there was one day he spent over an hour on the air with her just talking about stuff and God, who he loved with all his heart and soul, loved his wife Regina, loved his kids, the essence of what a real man is supposed to be. Honest to goodness, miss him terribly. Greg Adams, bless his heart. Let me tell you something about that trumpet man. He is experiencing, thanks to his amazing crew, a real push, a real renewed excitement with East Bay Soul and all of the history of who Greg Adams is. He's going to play at Spaghettini's coming up in August. Now it's on the roster. We weren't able to talk about it too much before, but now we can. He's going to play New Year's Eve at Scullers in Boston. Road trip! Got to be the case. Oh, my gosh. Just to see these guys with their chemistry and soul and history, cohesiveness and co-respect they have for one another, doing a song like that, To Catch a Thief. Woohoo! You've got to make it a point to see Greg Adams. The word is out to Rehoboth Beach Jazz. The word is out to Berks Jazz. I think that Linda and Beach have also put the word to some other venues and jazz festivals across the United States and abroad about Greg. And I know that Andrea and Greg really appreciate that. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm so excited. I've been dipping and weaving. The folks in the chat room are calling me Casper because I've disappeared. You can't see me. And that is because, I'll tell you this, Kyle Wolverton joins us at the top of next hour, and he just sent me two brand new tracks that have not been heard before this day. So we'll debut them next hour. Pretty psyched about that. Because Kyle is a favorite for a lot of folks, and he's got some kind of history himself. We'll be telling you all about that. Now, I alluded earlier to a gentleman that I thought might be the new, how shall we say, just put it out there, the new John Coltrane. That's how much I believe in Kenneth Whalum III. But I thought I'd play the real deal right now. It's a 10-minute track. Do you mind? John Coltrane? I didn't think so. This is Blue Train on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Let's go make some coffee. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lady recorded that song, and when people heard it, they did what I did when I heard it the first time, and my mouth dropped and stayed there. A woman doing that song? Whoo! Baby, baby, baby. Love Won't Let Me Wait. From Nancy Wilson. From Love Nancy, back in 1994. Originally done by Major Harris. Formerly of the Delphonics, from 1975. I mean, when we were grooving to that song back in the mid-70s, I don't know how many kids, male or female, were named Major after that, but I'm telling you, babies were made, all right? Man, when Nancy did it, she had a whole new angst in her voice, although I'm not sure that's what you call it. Oh, 75 this year. Dear God, I love that lady. From Chillicothe, Ohio. And I just have to say, I just wish I had been a fly on the wall back when she had so many collaborations with Cannonball Adderley, who was the one who convinced her to come to New York in the late 50s. And she did. And within 4 weeks, she was working. I mean, listen to her. Oh. And by the way, Love Nancy from 1994 also features her amazing take on what had been considered pretty much a Bonnie Raitt song, I Can't Make You Love Me. But when Nancy sings it, especially in person, saw her a couple of years ago at one of the colleges in the region with Bill Cosby. Ooh, that was a crazy combination, so good. When Nancy Wilson sang I Can't Make You Love Me, the men were weeping. And the men apologized to the ladies that they were with, okay? That's how powerful that song was. Woo. And by the way, Nancy did Love Won't Let Me Wait. If you remember the show New York Undercover, she was on an episode and she sang the song. I won't mention the network because I loathe the network, but I love her. New York Undercover. This girl. Let me tell you something. If you try to go to Miss Nancy Wilson, if you're familiar with that website, sadly to say, it was hacked. And I don't think this would have happened if Nancy's manager were still alive. He just passed a couple of months ago and was with her forever. And soon after that, the website was hacked. So I'm not sure what's going on, but I sure wish that I was hearing about her on tour. As soon as I find out any information, I would love to pass it along to you, because if you get a chance to see her, please do. We have to really honor those that are left with us, and it would be a shame to not take the opportunity, even if it was a little bit out of the way. It's worth every moment. We heard Old and New. This is such a cool thing to be able to play. Tineke Postma, a wonderful saxophonist from the Netherlands, who was part and parcel of the success of Terry Lynn Carrington's Mosaic Project. We heard a track called The Observer from Tineke's The Dawn of Light CD, her fifth, actually. She's got a master's degree. Such a smart, beautiful lady playing that saxophone like nobody's business. And, man, I'm seeing some dates with she and Terry Lynn and some of the group. It floats back and forth who Terry Lynn uses for the Mosaic Project. But any time they are touring, that's another act to see. Oh, my goodness. Terry Lynn, with all the history she has, and then she brings these unbelievable women, all women on the stage, playing like nobody's business. It's poetry. I'm not kidding. Speaking of which, John Coltrane, Blue Train from 1957. Mercy. Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. Mercy. The only one recorded for Blue Note as leader, his second solo CD, all his ideas were used, all songs were his, except for I'm Old Fashioned, and his album cover was inspired by Pablo Picasso, his Blue period. John Coltrane said that he was really immersed in the avant-garde thought processes that Pablo Picasso had. So there is so much to say about John Coltrane, but you know, I mean, look, he's a Philadelphia-born artist, or at least we claim him in Philadelphia. There's another one of those coming up, also no longer with us, but I had a ball planning this show, I have to say, because Kyle Wolverton is joining us in about 30 minutes, and I've known Kyle a little bit, but it's just cool to see where his head is right now and to know where his inspiration came from. And one of those inspirations is On the Way, with a recognizable tune for you, by the way. Man, it's good to play this music. It's almost a cool thing that Tuesday I wasn't here, because now I've got stuff coming out of my pores as far as the passion is concerned. Don't get alarmed. All I meant was passion. There's nothing else coming out of my pores. Thanks, everybody in the chat room, joining us. And we're going to get to something right now. We played Wayman Tisdale a few songs ago, and Wayman just loves, or just loved, Oklahoma so much, and Oklahoma loved him back. They even used him as far as tourism is concerned. That was a no-brainer, huh? But another person, a friend of mine who was on the show, matter of fact, some months ago, Maurice Johnson, also calls Oklahoma his home state. And I wanted to dip into this because we wanted to hear some more guitar. From his Tonight CD, this is For You, For Me. I like that. On Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
body.
Waiting to play that song for you. Mercy. Oh, my goodness. The song is called, watch me now, J'ai du amour. Josephine Baker, the Black Pearl, the Creole goddess. Oh, they had such names for her in France. My goodness. There's a life. If you ever wanted to read about someone who was beyond fascinating in this or any other lifetime, Josephine Baker, born on June the 3rd, 1906, and passed away April the 12th, 1975, at the age of 68. What kind of living did that gal do in those years? Not only an incredible singer, an incredible exotic dancer, I mean, you don't even know the kind of frenzy she created in France. American-born, but she went over there and her life began. And then on top of her being in a series of firsts, the first African-American female to be in a major film, to integrate an American concert hall, and to become a world-famous entertainer, oh no, there's more. She was so incredible to the French people that she was given the highest honor from the French Foreign Legion. Is it the French Foreign Legion? And I'm not sure what it's called. I'm not even going to attempt what the name of that award was, but the highest honor bestowed, French Resistance, that's what I'm talking about. And then on top of that, Coretta Scott King asked Josephine Baker if she would take over leadership for the civil rights group that Dr. King loved so much. And Josephine said, I can't do it. So there was a huge civil rights association. She worked very, very hard. And, you know, many would probably take issue with this because she lived in France, but she made it a point to get very much involved in what was happening in America. And if Coretta Scott King trusted her so much, that speaks volumes. Well, on top of everything else, Josephine Baker had one child that she gave birth to naturally, and the child died, infant. She adopted 12 multi-ethnic children from varying countries, black, white, yellow, brown, red. She was just amazing. And then this is the part that really kills me. She had been a part of this successful comeback, one last gig to do, and it was unbelievable. I really wish that there was someone who could recount what happened that particular day. This is back in 1975. This is, as a matter of fact, April. She had Prince Rainier, Grace Kelly, Sophia Loren, Mick Jagger, unbelievable national and international people came to this last concert. I'm not sure if Josephine knew this was going to be her last, but she knocked everybody on their feet. There was so many people that wanted to see this that they had to set up fold-up chairs in this very elegant reception room. So when she passed away, they had found her sleeping peacefully in her house, surrounded by the accolades she received for this concert. She just passed away. They took her to the hospital, but I think at that point she had gone. And it just makes me so happy that all the happiness she had given to other people, all the controversy that just made people so excited and decided to live instead of walking around dead inside of themselves, she gave people such life. And to have that last accolade given to her was just so wonderful at the age of 68. She had the event. A couple of days later, she passed away. Unbelievable. Woo! David Sanborn, we heard from. Sophia from Closer from a few years ago. Loved that song, and I thought it would be cool to play it next to Josephine Baker. David is touring with Brian Culbertson, in case you haven't heard. He's going to be at Ram's Head for a couple of days in June, and then at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia. I talked to Leonard at his office, and Leonard said that ordinarily David would love to chat, but he's so bloody busy, I got to worry about him a little bit. He's over in Brazil. When he gets back to Brazil, he's got to clean up and then go off on his U.S. tour. So if there's time to talk to him, we will. But at this point, Leonard and I know each other. Oh, such a trip to try to get a hold of him. I said to her, please tell him, do not pull an Al Jarreau and wind up in the hospital. He's got to slow down a little bit. So keep him in your good thoughts because he's a wonderful guy. Maurice Johnson we heard from his Tonight CD, For You, For Me. The good news is Maurice is working on his new album. If you go to mauricejohnson.com, you will find out more. He's an amazing guy, too, and it's just so good to be able to play these positive creatures who are so vastly talented and be able to say, yeah, they were on the show. Somebody that I couldn't get on the show because he's no longer with us, but I'm working on the guy he worked with here. I'm working on it. I know that you'll recognize this song. This is one of Kyle Wolverton's inspirations, and I had to make note of that because Kyle's joining us in less than 10 minutes from now, but I thought it would be pretty appropriate to play Grover Washington Jr. with Bill Withers, just the two of us, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
I hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I want to be the one with you. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us. Building big castles way on high. Just the two of us. You and I.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Let's get it together, baby.
Just the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
I do love that song. Woo! Doggies, doggies, doggies. I love that. And you know what? There are many things that I could say about my guest. And what I'm going to tell you is what you need to know first and foremost about Kyle Wolverton. You just heard Can't Stop the Feeling. Is that if you love jazz in any way, shape, or form, and especially if you love all that is jazz, the hybrid mix, that good, delicious stew of what it could be, taken from gospel, taken from R&B, taken from fused along the way, jazz is in good hands as long as Kyle Wolverton is still playing saxophone. That's what I'll tell you. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Trish, how are you?
I'm good. I'm better than I heard that track.
Woo-hoo! Thank you.
Man, let me tell you, it's been a minute since we talked. There is so much catching up to do. What have you been doing? I'm scared to ask.
Oh, man, it's been it's been about a year and a half, I think, huh?
I think so, because you were on Cool Jazz Conversations.
That's right.
It has to have been at least a year, and I've always kept my eye on what's going on with you, because honest to goodness, you have such a fresh quality about you. And Kyle, honestly, the more I read about your background, the more I appreciate you, because you've had such strong gospel roots, and you can't get away from that no matter how hard you try, and you never want to, because that means that your music is more inspired than others.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. And I always do try to feature a couple gospel tunes, even in our live shows. We just played San Diego last weekend at their little Gas Lamp Jazz Festival. And it's funny. You throw a gospel song in the middle of a jazz concert, and it always works, because I think a lot of people have those early memories of going to church. And so it's fun to throw that mix in there. But the last year and a half, what have I been up to? I guess the biggest part, I guess most recently, is the second CD, which, you know, we definitely take our time. I mean, the first one took about 3 years to finish, just because, you know, all the guys in my group are musicians or producers as well. Two guys have recording studios, and that's their business. But we really take our time. I think it's good, because if you listen to the CD, the variety of music is so great. It's not something that we crank out in 6 months. So we started this second CD. Oh, it's not a 3-year labor of love this time. It's more like, it's been about 6-7 months since we started. I started writing the music, obviously, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. We've got 7 songs that are just about ready, final phases of the whole mixing and mastering, putting a special sauce on there. And the CD, we're shooting for an August release. We may do a single's probably going to come out before that, just to kind of do a little teaser, but it's gonna be a lot of fun. So that's been interesting. I've been working on that CD, and I'm opening a nightclub in Los Angeles where I live.
Really?
It's gonna be called the Juke Joint, and if you look at the history of what Juke Joint means, you know, it's where the real music happened back during Prohibition times, and it was an interesting time in our country, but that's where a lot of really good music was born. So we thought it was a good name to go with, and so that's happening in downtown Los Angeles, shooting for Christmas for an opening. But
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. You picture the J on the Juke and Joint being kind of an abstract saxophone, and a little hut in the background with music notes coming out of the chimney. And it's kind of like, I guess, along the lines of what House of Blues has done on a more personal scale, where you get really up and close with the musicians and what you see and hear. And so that's taken a lot of my time, and put a pretty interesting group of investors together that, you remember when Planet Hollywood was done with Bruce Willis and Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And
yeah.
A lot of movie stars. Well, we're going with trying to keep it in the family, really music-centric, by a lot of the guests you've had on your show will be in some way, shape, or form involved in this project here in L.A. And we'll see how it goes. And if it goes well, maybe there'll be one in Memphis or New York or New Orleans. We'll see what happens.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? We have to think about the possibility of when that happens in December. You know, maybe we'll have the wherewithal to do a live broadcast and put it on the show.
That would be fun. Yeah, get you out here and we'll show you, we'll take you to Disneyland and
Of course. Well, you know what? I've got family and friends out there, so it gives me an excuse to finally get my tail out there. But that
there
is exciting. I had no idea. You must be over the moon. No wonder you were keeping a little bit secretive.
Well, yeah, it's funny. You know, I it's been probably one of the biggest transitional periods since we last talked because, you know, once the first CD came out, it was all about playing a lot of live shows, playing everywhere because it's, you know, it takes a while for people to know who you are. There's so many great players out there and so much music that, you know, to make it stick, you've got to go out and play a lot. So we probably spent a solid 2 years just trying to play as many shows as we could and then went back to the drawing board on the next CD. I found that, you know, I was in a bit of a rut, and people, they thought I was going through some sort of midlife crisis. I kind of felt like I was living at the beach. And down in, it's called Hermosa Beach, a really nice little part of L.A., you know, just south of downtown, right on the water. And I had a little surf shack beach place that I lived in, and really was great, you know, a great environment to write music and be inspired. And I did that, but I was there for 10 years since I moved down from San Francisco. And I found myself sort of in a rut or a routine in terms of I wasn't inspired anymore. It was a beautiful, very comfortable setting, but I needed to mix things up. So I up and found the most different location I could possibly find from the beach. I moved to right in the heart of downtown L.A. An old building that used to be a bank. And they've done these conversions. I think they've done that a lot back where you are, too, where they take an old early structure and then they turn them into lofts.
Absolutely.
And so I live in this hustle bustle, busiest corner of L.A., right downtown in the historic section. And I am nothing short of inspired now. I mean, just opening my windows, looking out, seeing that energy, and I found that, as I'd hoped, the writing came much more easily than it did being in that same environment at the beach. So I still go down there and visit on weekends, but I found that the move downtown not only has inspired me to write the CD, but things kind of fell into place where I said, there's not really a legitimate downtown L.A. music venue that's a jazz and blues world music type of venue, and
it just
started to fall into place, and so some things are meant to be, and I think that's why I'm here.
And you know what? That is so awesome that you just said jazz, blues, and world music, because, you know, if anybody does any sort of research at all, you know that jazz was birthed from the blues. And then, you know, to understand that there's more than a domestic vision of what jazz is. There's a whole world full of what music is like and what other people bring to the table besides folks who just play in the United States.
Sure. No, I couldn't agree more.
Wow. I am so proud of you. I feel like your big sister now, and I'm just busting. This is so unreal. I had no idea, because one of my questions for you, Kyle, was, you know, how do you think that your journey is coming in the world of music? You just answered that whole question, because you talk about thinking outside of the box. I'm used to talking to artists who are mixing it up as far as the music is concerned, because, you know, the radio stations have been dropping like flies. But you know what? There's a silver lining in all of that. And you just took it one better, because you're just opening your own freaking club.
Well, yeah, I think you have to. At some point, you know, how does the music get out there? I mean, not just the radio stations. They're not necessarily going away, but as you know, the online radio stations are really becoming significant. I mean, everybody's paying attention to that, and there are just so many more radio stations than there were before. I mean, I can turn on my Time Warner cable and see, you know, if I put on the music selection or my Apple TV, I will see, if I say smooth jazz, there will be 400 stations I can listen to, but they're all, you know, internet-based and internet-driven. So I think our media is just changing. I think the music's still there more than ever. It's just not, you don't go to 22 stations to hear it. You go to 2,000, and they're worldwide. So it's how do you as a musician, you know, set yourself apart from all of that so that people, you know, hey, listen to me. You know, it's a little tougher to do as a musician. I think it's frustrating at times, but the potential is there for anybody to have their music heard now, which is really kind of cool.
Well, and the wonderful thing about having the internet stations, part of the reason that I wanted to do this is because You can relate to this in other sets of circumstances, but having to kowtow, having to submit to somebody else's dream of what you're supposed to do is not what I wanted to do anymore. I wanted to do my own vision of what I thought was palatable as far as listeners are concerned. There's a whole lot of what is under the umbrella of jazz, and even some stuff that really isn't jazz, but it sounds real good when it's in the mix.
Sure.
So, yeah, you know, if you have that control, and, you know, the sad part was with the radio stations that were on terrestrial radio, other people had control, and they didn't know how to use their authority correctly, and they lost those stations. And now you have this local venue, and I can't stress that word enough because this is important. When you have local music reflecting local tastes, and now you're going to have a club in the heart of L.A. that's going to be reflective of what's happening in L.A. How cool is that?
Sure. I think it's really cool, and I'm just so – the potential is endless. Like you said, broadcast either radio or even live podcasts, you know, where people can see concerts going on, where you – go to a website and you can watch, you know, Paul Brown and Norman Brown playing together, at this, you know, at the Juke Joint. I mean, that live from the Juke Joint could be an internet TV station for that matter. It could be, the potential is just incredible, and it's really exciting. I mean, it's what I love doing. If I'm not playing music, I'm listening to music. So I thought, you know, with everybody I know here in LA and the people that come through here, why wouldn't I sort of create a conduit and just bring everybody together? It's not rocket science. You know, I have a history before I went music full time. I ran a chain of coffee bars that I opened right out of college up in the Bay Area, San Francisco, called Jazzland. It's called Jazzland Coffee. And, you know, similar, we had music playing, you know, at these coffee shops, and everybody loved the coffee and the music together. It was a really cool mix. So I've done the retail thing before, but, you know, this is going to be kind of neat to just have one Hallmark location that, you know, I'm there pretty much every night unless I'm on the road. And if I'm there, there's you know, there's going to be great music coming through. The calendar is going to be phenomenal, and it's going to be pretty exciting.
Wow. And hats off to Lee and Sherry Wolverton, because they did a good job of raising you, Kyle.
That probably wasn't easy. Yeah, they were great. I mean, they really, looking back, you know, I still didn't appreciate it at the time like kids don't, but, you know, looking back, you think, man, I had it pretty good doing that.
You did.
You know, no question.
I love the whole idea, and this is another reason why you're going to be a breed apart from other artists out there, and a saxophone player especially, because women are drawn to saxophonists for a number of different reasons. But the idea of being able to feel so much better from an instrument like that, it can't be stressed enough. And you, because you had a scenario of the Wolverton family sax trio with Dad and your brother Joel, and then your mom being a booking agent, I just love that.
It was really fun.
You understood early the business side of things, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, and my mom, you know, when I say she was our booking agent, we didn't get paid per se. We played at churches, and so, you know, if anything, we gave, you know, our 10% tithe in the offering plate. But she was the one that would, you know, line up the different shows wherever we would go and play around, mostly around Washington State, sometimes Oregon or Idaho, up in the Pacific Northwest there. But she took care of that, made sure we knew what time to be there, and we were, you know, on time and rehearsed. And we had, you know, I got over my stage fright, I guess, probably by about fifth grade. So, you know, by the time I still came around, the audience size didn't really matter. I mean, in fact, the bigger the crowd, the less stressful it is. It's even to this day, if I play for five people in someone's living room, I think about that more than if there's 5,000 people. It's kind of funny how that works, you know. But it's good to be exposed at a young age to that, get over that little fear, because there's, you know, the first couple times it's hard to breathe, and, you know, you go out there and you see bunch of people staring at you. It's stressful for a kid, you know.
Well, it's immersed in you now. I mean, you are so used to this. It's almost like you don't know exactly what to do if there's not a saxophone in your hand because you started so early. I mean,
it's
like being born in Canada and having a hockey puck in the delivery room, you know? Well, tell me, I mean, I'm chomping at the bit because I haven't heard these two songs that you sent me this afternoon.
Yeah, well, you said something before that, you know, I think is important, and it's very important to me on this next CD, is that you don't have to fit a very, very particular mold to say this is the type of music that will make the Billboard Top 20. I mean, granted, I do want to make the Top 20 because that goes a long way when you have a song on the charts. Suddenly, booking agents are willing to, you know, bring you in for their festivals and so forth. That is important, but with this album, I'm not saying I tried to hit it down the middle last time, as they say, with, you know, smooth jazz. We did music that we loved, and we let the radio promotions folks pick the ones that we released as singles. And luckily, Can't Stop the Feeling was one of those kind of a middle-of-the-road, nice, smooth song that works, I think, because of the workplace. You know, you can't have people, you know, working in a real estate or insurance office, and then all of a sudden you've got a five-minute drum solo going on. That doesn't work. So you pick your songs carefully. This CD, really focusing on music that I love, and I really enjoy mixing R&B, funk, and jazz together. So we're doing more with vocals. I think people enjoy having some vocals. You know, a lot of folks, they get lost in the music, like, when do the words start? You know, so, and I like to have, you know, a little bit of vocals in there, even if it's just on the hook, so that it kind of reminds the person, hey, this is what this song's about. If it's about heartbreak or romance, put a couple words in there just to be sure that you're connecting with what the vibe of the song is. So this album, we're doing a lot of R&B crossover. I work with these guys called Down With Three, DW3.
Yeah. I don't
know you've heard them out your way, but they're doing very well on the terrestrial radio and internet radio, and they do, you know, the Capital Jazz Cruise. They do all the big festivals, so I'm really thankful to have them in my camp here. They live here in East L.A. It's two brothers, Billy and Eric Mondragon, and then Damon Real is the third of the Down With Three group. And Paul Brown, you know, multi-Grammy Award-winning artist, produces them. And we did a Christmas song together this last year that did very well. And so we said, well, let's keep this thing going. Let's get you guys on a couple of tracks to get that R&B feel going. So I don't know which song you want to try. Perfect Lady is a love song.
Yeah.
It's a really, really pretty ballad. And you'll hear Down With Three, their vocals on the hooks, and they're there. The title track to the album is the other one I sent you, and it's called Don't Stop the Music. And the reason I call it that, the album Don't Stop the Music, is exactly what you just said. A lot of folks are discouraged that, you know, radio seems to be going away. Maybe the genre is even going away. And I couldn't disagree more. I think the media is just changing. And so Don't Stop the Music is just saying, no matter what, you know, you don't stop the music. There's a rap at the end of the song, which is, you know, obviously it's not going to be on smooth jazz radio, but, you know, it was kind of neat how it happened. We were in the studio doing some work, and Down With Three was there doing the vocals that day. And I was walking them through, you know, how I wanted them to sing the lyrics and the harmonies and everything. And there was this really shy kid there, nice young Mexican kid here that was a cousin of one of the guys in Down With Three. His name was Contagious. I don't think that's his real name, but that's what he goes by.
Cool.
And they said, you got to hear this guy rap. He's amazing. He's just got ridiculous flows. And I said, well, I'd love to hear it. So towards the end, we were wrapping up. You know, we were breaking down the equipment. And, you know, the song's very uplifting. Don't Stop the Music is about music. And I said, hey, do you have any of your verses that would work on a song like this that is positive and talks about, you know, trying to make it either in music or in life in general and being positive and achieving your goals, that kind of thing? And he was kind of sheepish, you know. He said, well, I got something. The song's kind of fast, but I got something that might work. And I said, hey, let's see what he can do. And I literally threw him into the booth. And one take, he broke out this rhyme that just fits exactly what I think a lot of musicians feel about this dream of making it music and achieving your goals and trying to be somebody and realizing what's important and what's not. And so there's actually a rap at the end of the song. So I guess I wanted to give you these two that are sort of opposite spectrums, a really pretty ballad and the title track, Don't Stop the Music, that nobody's heard. This will be I guess it's the world debut on your show. If we play these, it'll be the first time it's been heard.
Man.
So it's kind of fun.
And no joke, you've seen on your Facebook page that I've been pumping this a little bit, but you know, at least two or three times since you sent me the tracks. Okay, it's coming up. But I wanted to play Perfect Lady, and here's why. I wanted to play Perfect Lady first because Don't Stop, the music, is such an identifiable factor for you that's going to be with you for such a long time that I wanted to end the show that way. So let's do Perfect Lady first because I am anxious to see the ballad side of the new Kyle Wolverton.
There you go.
Okay, that's cool.
Alrighty.
So
yep.
Here we go with the world debut of Kyle Wolverton from his forthcoming CD. This is Perfect Lady on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. skeleton. Ow! Let me tell you something. You have just redefined groovy.
Can I just tell you when I need to pick me up? You make me feel so good with your little comments, and I really appreciate you for saying everything you say.
No doubt. Listen, you know, we've got a pretty active little chat room, a very vocal chat room, and Griselda Medina says to say hello and sends her love to you from Texas, by the way.
Hey, Griselda, how are you, my Facebook friend?
Oh, she sure is. She loves you, and we were just commenting about, we are sweating in here listening to this track, because it's just one of those sexy. And, you know, you told the story, and this is what it sounds like. It sounds like the summer coming from the beach to the city or vice versa. It's got a little bit of beach, got a little bit of city in there,
yeah.
And it's very, very sexy. It's very groovy.
Good deal. Good to hear. Yeah, I just love Billy. You know, Billy's the real high voice. I mean, you don't hear guys with that pure of a falsetto like that. Just
yes.
Amazing. And the three of them together, when they harmonize, I just... You know, I'm just so happy to be working with Down With Three and with Paul Brown, and it's just it's going to be fun to see what happens. You know, incidentally, Billy, the guy that sang that note that will break a wine glass at the end, he actually is a club owner himself. He's kind of my big brother in a lot of respects when it comes to, you know, the music business or business in general, and he's got a place called the Chop House down in a little city called San Pedro, a neighborhood
oh, wow.
of L.A. And the Wave, if you know the Wave 94.7, that's kind of our big jazz station out here.
Yeah.
That's one of their main. There's, of course, the Spaghettini Grill, which is great. We play there all the time. That's
yes.
our kind of home base. And then you've got now the Chop House, and the Wave does Sunday brunches out there. And so Billy's he's the proprietor of that, as well as the leader of Down With Three. So it's a little musical business family we got going here in L.A.
And you know what? You are surrounding yourself with exactly the right people, Kyle, honestly, because you've got so much that you want to do, to accomplish. And the more that you surround yourself with people who are multitasking like that, who are having fun and have passion for what they do, it's just going to infuse you to be absolutely successful in this club with the new CD. You just catch that fire, don't you? I mean, you just suck it all up like your own little positive osmosis.
I think so. I mean, there's a reason that, you know, you go to certain areas, you go to New York City and everybody's wearing black. You go to San Francisco and everybody's wearing Birkenstocks, you know. I mean, I'm generalizing, but you really do become, you know, what you observe and what becomes the norm. So if you surround yourself with successful people, I think people just think of the possibilities. I think you begin to realize that's not a crazy dream. It's something that's very possible. I mean, I've seen Billy do it with over the years with his business ventures and his music and people like him. Or you take a guy like Richard Elliott. I mean, he, you know, a lot of people don't realize he's a very, very smart businessman. Music's his passion, but he started the software company back in the, I don't know, early 90s, I think, and he's done very, very well with that. He's got his own plane he flies around the country in, and, you know, a lot of his money comes from his software company, but his passion's music. So guys like that are the ones that hopefully I will be partnering up with, you know, for the club and musically going forward. We've, I guess I should mention that this CD is going to have a lot of collaboration on it. There's going to be a song on there with Rick Braun, the trumpet player, and myself.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, I love Rick.
Cool. And the single that's coming out called Never Better, that'll be our first official radio release. It's going to be a duet with myself and Norman Brown, one of my favorite guitar players.
Oh, fabulous.
So this album is going to be very interesting. We may do something with Paul Brown as well. Like we had so much fun on the Christmas song, collaborating on the song Christmas Dream. I don't know if you heard it, but...
Yes.
With Paul Brown and his car and his production skills, you know, you can't go wrong with him. So we may be doing some things there. He's with Woodward Records out of Florida now, and we may be releasing with them. Not sure if it's going to be my little label or do it with someone else. A lot of stuff to figure out in the next couple months here.
Oh, my gosh. That's so exciting. Listen, do yourself a favor. This is what I want you to do. I know that
okay.
Playboy Jazz is coming up in the next few weeks.
Uh-huh.
Make sure that you get in touch with Jonathan Widrin so that he can make sure that he reviews your CD. He will love you as he gets to know you. He was just on the show a few weeks ago. And he's just, you know, you probably know the name. He reviews work all the time. He's immersed in jazz. And he just because of what he is able to say, he's a real good influence. But more than that, get a hold of Jonathan and then make sure you acquaint yourself with Bill Cosby at the Playboy Jazz Festival.
Okay. I love Bill
Cosby.
I've seen him many times. I've never met him, but that'll be fun.
He'll be over the moon when he hears your plan for the new club, and he will do what he can to help you, so it's best to start that relationship now.
That's great. Do you know Bill Cosby?
Listen, honey, you don't know how much I want to know him because of the fact that, see, my idea for this show, and you'll understand this because you're a business person, my idea to put this show on the air is so that somebody who has the kind of, and it's Clint Eastwood's birthday today, by the way, I think of him and I think of Bill Cosby and people who have been around, who love jazz, who have money, and who are thinking, what am I going to do with the cash flow that would normally come to me after I am gone? And I think the absolute idea is, and I just love this because it means money for everybody, Kyle. I like the idea of having a successful hybrid jazz station, 24 hours a day commercial radio station, wherever it has to happen first. And it will be so successful that it will make clones of other hybrid jazz stations in other cities. So, yes, he's from Philly, Dr. Cosby. I don't know him. I will know him before the year is over.
Okay. Well, I like that idea. And those are the people you want to be associated with for sure, the ones that have the passion first but then the business sense second.
Exactly.
That, make sure that things go the way they're supposed to and the attention to details there. So that would be a wonderful call to reach out to Clint and Bill. I mean, that the more the merrier that we get involved with. I mean, there's a club here in L.A. called the Sayers Club that I went to. Someone said, you got to check it out. It's like an old speakeasy, and there's a lot of renovated speakeasies here in L.A. because during Prohibition, you know, I guess people kept drinking. And so they've reopened a lot of these old speakeasies, and they've kept the decor just like that. And this Sayers Club up in Hollywood was one of these places, and it was really cool to see. I mean, you feel like you're stepping into a time machine. You go in, and it's really dark, you know, just lit with candles, and the music's fantastic, and the room has just a certain energy. And it's funny. I was talking, actually, nothing to do with anything, but a funny story nonetheless. I was talking to this really nice girl at the bar and talking about the band, asking when they were coming up next and who was singing. And finally she said, I'm actually the singer. So we started talking and kind of hit it off. And she went up and performed the set, and it was really good. And liked it and was talking to her afterwards, but there was all these people kind of staring at me like I was being annoying by talking to this person. And finally someone came up and said, you know you're talking to Bruce Willis and Demi Moore's daughter, don't you? And I'm like, who? Because I'm not really a Hollywood, even though I live near Hollywood, I don't follow a lot of things. And they said, that's Rumor. That's their daughter, Rumor. And then I think I'd heard of the name Rumor and whatnot, but kind of funny. That was actually like her handlers and trying to wedge their way in while it's some of the guys over talking to, but she was a really good singer. And as you know, Bruce Willis is a big fan of music, and he's actually a good harmonica player and singer and guitar player. So anyway, it's just funny. You never know who you're going to bump into here in LA.
Hey, and that's the truth. And now that you bring that up, I just talked to my friend Dan, who's making some inroads of his own in Nashville. And he is really smitten with this new place. This is an idea for you. I just love the idea. He said he has this friend who's got a renovated house in Nashville, and the basement is a nightclub, and the top
Very
part
cool.
of it is a mom-and-pop CD shop.
Very cool. That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? So he said, Trish, you would be surprised at how well this guy is doing because people gravitate to the new music, especially by independent artists in this CD shop, and then they can have a drink at the bar and go downstairs to the club. I love
that. That is fantastic. And you know what? I may owe you a dinner for that idea because this space that we haven't completely decided on the space that we're going to go with. One of them's in an old 1904 old hotel, that used to be a banquet hall. It's going to be reopened if we do that. But it totally kind of turned my head around yesterday. One of my brokers took me to a place that it's so big that, you know, you don't want a place that's too big because you want it to feel intimate. At the same time, you know, the space was just beautiful. It had 20-foot high windows with the whole skyline of LA right in the background, like behind where the stage would be. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's not a lot of places in downtown LA to go, you know, watch sports and play pool on a Sunday or hear, you know, some maybe a gospel brunch or, you know, New Orleans style music, you know, while football's going on. So I think, okay, maybe we could use some of the space because this one I looked at is 8,200 square feet. And that's big if you think about, you know, it's essentially two basketball courts, you know, together. That's a pretty big club. So
yes.
I was thinking, well, I pay this much for where I live, my house, and I've got my recording studio where I pay this much for. What if I were to take that money and actually build a wall to where you've got the green room for the musicians, which would be, you want that to be as much like somebody's living room as possible, very comfortable area, like before you go on stage. So we figured, you know, okay, a really nice green room. And I thought, what if on the other side of the green room, I live there, and maybe now your idea of maybe even vinyl records, those are coming back, vinyl record shop with independent CDs. So people could, you know, actually have a drink and wander through and kind of look at what's hot, what's new, and maybe even have some videos playing or the music playing, what's being featured in that CD area. That is a great idea. So I might have my house, my pool hall, my CD shop, and my bar and music club all in the same space. And then we can fill up 8,200 people.
You know what? And I'll give you another idea because, you know, nobody took this and ran with it in Baltimore, and I think this idea is really incredible. Not only with that kind of space could you have a little CD shop that featured vinyl and maybe, you know, T-shirts and had a real flavor for what people could buy because they're in, you know, you're going to have a lot of tourists coming into this place, so you always keep that in the back of your head. But also, it would be awesome to have like a continuous scenario where people could look at TV and see older videos of jazz artists doing their thing.
I love it. Yep, that's actually what we were thinking is maybe projection on a wall or two, almost like art in the space where you have the old black and white, you know, old Coltrane or Charlie Parker, kind of showing it, you know, to give that vibe of, you know, This is part of history. This is an old building that was here during these times, and here's some of the music that might have happened in this very building. You know,
that's
a great idea to do that. Yeah, I like that.
I have chills. You know it's going to be hot. You know it is.
It's going to be cool, yeah. I might have to get you on the marketing team, I think. I like your ideas.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you, maybe they're all coming into fruition because, you know, when WSMJ, the smooth jazz station where I was working, when it was, you know, happening, and God knows it was happening, just it was one of those victims of whatever that was happening in the universe. But we all talked about these ideas, Kyle, and how we could make money for everybody. We could pull people into local businesses, you know, remote broadcasts. What could we do to foster the local environment? And when you bring the locals into play, they are so grateful they want to put money into your business, and that attracts people from elsewhere.
Sure. No, I agree. Makes good sense.
Yeah.
So how long
ago
was it that you worked at the radio station? I know you started this one. When did you start this business that you're running today, this great station?
Well, honestly, I mean, this sounds so weird to people who go, what? But I've actually been doing radio since 1976.
Really?
Yes. So
okay.
I started out in country music, and then I segued into jazz, and then in between there was alternative country. But WSMJ was on the air for like, what, 5 years or so, and this has only been kicking since last August, but the numbers are really cool as far as people listening either live or archived, and that tells me a lot. People are so hungry for having the diversity of what they perceive to be largely instrumental music, and then you throw in some vocals, and it's like, oh, wow. It's really cool to have the unfamiliar with the familiar so that you go back and forth. People are comfortable, but they want to be challenged, and you go back and forth, you know?
I think that's the key. You have almost like a book of work, you know, with different chapters that some may be really exciting and fast, but and then some are maybe slow or funny, but yet they all tie together with the same theme. You know, if that theme is hopefully something that makes you tap your toe, whether it's a slow song or a fast song, that's kind of what I'm hoping for. I don't want track four to come on and, oh, I don't like this song. If I see people fast-forwarding, and I see that a lot with CDs, especially in pop, where you love one song you heard on the radio, but then there's something that just doesn't make any sense, and has nothing to do with the rest of the work. I'm trying to avoid that, but push the envelope as far as I can on either side of the middle, I guess, is kind of what the goal is. So I think you're right. You challenge people, but keep it in the realm. I think you hit it on the head there with that description.
Well, you don't want to, and we had a term for this in radio that we still use, you don't want to do the train wrecks. And we know what they are, because there are some stations that took this contemporary smooth jazz, whatever you want to call it. I try to stay away from the word smooth, but that's a whole different story.
Right.
But you see some people who were absolutely grooving to a mix, say it's you, and then you were followed by David Sanborn, and then, okay, there's a vocal coming up, and then it would be a completely nonsensical vocal, like Hot Chocolate, You Sexy Thing.
Uh-huh.
You don't want to ever do that. You want to make it so that people will go, hey, you know what? I'm hearing a little bit of straight ahead. I'm hearing a little bit of smooth. And the vocal fit just right in between those. Doggone.
Right. Yeah, there you go.
That's what you want to do.
And even the order of the songs, you know, like to that point, I remember, you know, the 10 songs we had on the first CD, we went round and round about, you know, which song goes in which order on the way it plays through the playlist, you know, and it sounds funny, but it's a big deal, the way the flow of the CD starts. You know, you hit them hard in the beginning and then take it down a little and then bring it back up, and it's you really got to think about the flow of that CD, I think.
You definitely do, because people are, you know this, Kyle, people are ADD or ADHD, and they want to focus and chill. When they put on a CD, they don't want to be thinking, oh, man, I can't stand track seven, and I'm dreading that it's going to happen. So you're right, and that's why I wanted to end the show with Don't Stop the Music, because I thought this is exactly what we want to give to people. Please don't stop the music. So, shoot, let's play it.
Okay, I like it.
Kyle Wolverton is here. He has so much going on, and one of the big things he has going on is a brand new track that you have never heard before this minute. It is called Don't Stop the Music from the forthcoming CD. It's on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Get ready.
Thank you. feel so right. We could just dance all night. So just relax your mind, 'cause we gon' ride this groove. Oh, don't stop the music.
Show and you know we had it last album, we had Outstanding, and whenever we play Outstanding by the Gap Band, it, you know, it's not jazz, but it's everybody's having fun, so we, you know, you got to mix it up a little bit, and that'll be one of the fun ones, I think, in the live shows for sure.
Yeah, but you know what, I mean, I love jazz more than most people living. I truly do, and I love the great masters, but you can't keep doing the same stuff that John Coltrane and Dexter Gordon and all those cats who were living in the 50s and 60s, Charlie Parker did. You can't keep doing that. I mean, you can pay homage to the history, and you can love it and carry that around with you, but you're living in 2012, you know?
Well, I think those guys, you know, they didn't do what was being done before them at the time.
Exactly.
You gotta remember, they were breaking out with this crazy music called jazz, and that's what it was something so different that people were scratching their heads saying, that isn't what we're used to. That is not ragtime. That's not, you know, that's not classical. What is this stuff? And
right.
I think they were playing from their heart. To me, that's the best part about jazz, is playing whatever is coming from within. And when you're stopping to think and read a sheet of music or listening to the way someone played it before, you're not truly letting it come from within. And there's many great traditional jazz players that play straight ahead that are expressing totally new thoughts and ideas. I mean, I love Chris Potter. You know, he's one of the modern guys. I really enjoy listening to Chris Potter or Joshua Redman. You know, they're still making it happen. There's good jazz still coming. My personal mentor, Brandon Fields, here in L.A., my big brother, he's phenomenal. I mean, I probably go listen to him twice a month. I mean, it's still out there. But I think bottom line, you've got to play what really makes you feel good, not what you're supposed to be playing, because then you're missing the whole point of jazz, I think.
Exactly right. And I appreciate the people who think that jazz is highbrow and they want to carry that elitist notion with them. But, you know, folks got to remember, jazz was born in brothels, okay? Let's just keep it real. So as long as we understand the roots, you know, going back to blues and going back to the underbelly or pinnings of jazz, you had to play from your gut. You had to play from your soul. You had to get that music out of you. If it's a chore, don't play it. You got to have a sense of fun as well as sing or play an instrument, because otherwise, what's your point? People, you're coming to a club, you're playing for people. They want to come and they want to feel like they're not in their everyday. They're looking to you for an answer. And it may be a big responsibility to you, but you get it. Because, Kyle, you come from a gospel background. You come from a church background. You understand that. So you're way ahead of the game. People are looking to you for a little bit of healing. And if you're not going to give it to them, you know, somebody else will.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting to me. I tend to really connect with when there's a performer on stage and I'm listening to music. I really like to see somebody truly having fun. I mean, to not necessarily the pre-can show antics, you know, that who's over on this side of the room, let's get you singing, but the true, like, my favorite is, I think, Harry Connick Jr. in concert. He truly seems like every time he gets on that stage, he just is having the best time of his life. And I think that's interesting with my band, the guys that I put together. I initially pulled them together, you know, the main six. We have a horn section too, but the main six guys I brought because of the fact that they are world-class musicians, you know, literally some of the best in the world that live here right in my backyard. But over time, we became such good friends that we really are having fun up there on stage. I mean, we're laughing in the middle of songs. We're making fun of each other and throwing each other off a little bit on purpose. You know, Saturday, my phenomenal guitar player was in the middle of a really good solo, and he had his eyes closed, and he was, you know, playing something kind of similar to the way I'd heard him play at the time before. So I thought, I'm going to shake him up a little bit. I'll make him open his eyes. So I walked up next to him, and I started soloing right over the top of his solo, which you don't do. I mean, that's just not appropriate. Yeah, it sounded cool. And he looked at me.
I lost you for a minute.
What's that?
I lost you for a minute. Your phone zoned out.
Oh, sorry. I tend to pace when I'm talking. Anyway, Brian was playing this solo, and I started playing right over the top of him, and he opened his eyes like, what are you doing? And then he started playing more aggressively and really doing some cool stuff to get me to shut up, to stop blowing. And I let it go for a little bit, and then I do it again, and next thing you know, we're going back and forth, which, you know, happens. There's sort of a canned routine, the sax and the guitar go back and forth. It's fun, but I think people can tell when it's genuine, and this is really happening right now. We're witnessing this crazy showdown on stage, you know, and you just got to keep it real, like you're saying.
Oh my God, that's a show, and you are warm. You and Harry Connick Jr. have that in common, because Kyle, you really do care about the audience. Sadly, a lot of folks don't get connected, don't want to be connected, because they really can't. They're not necessarily social. And that makes a lot of difference sometimes when you're warm and engaging and want to involve the audience in that sense of fun. That means a lot. It does.
Well, you got to remember what you are. You're called an entertainer. You're there to entertain, and you're not there to play for yourself. You're there to play to entertain the people, and it's easy to forget that sometimes, especially if you're doing, you know, three shows in three nights. It's easy to forget.
Yeah.
You got to remember what you're there for and make it fun, you know. And it's different from room to room, crowd to crowd, different parts of the country. What if they want to hear ballads and slow dance, then do that. If they want to hear all funk and dance all night, then do that, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, an hour has gone by. I have to say goodbye to you, and I don't want to, but I'm going to have to.
Well, we got to talk. I'm going to call you offline and pick your brain some more about some of these ideas for the Juke Joint, because you've got a lot of good ideas and good experience. So I really appreciate all your kind words and really appreciate the time to be on your show. I think it's great what you're doing and fun to be a part of it. So thank you so much for letting me be a part of it.
Oh, my goodness. My absolute pleasure, Kyle, and I wish you the best. I think the best is going to continue to come to you. I think that you are blessed, and you need to have this new road ahead of you, because a lot of people are going to open their eyes about a lot of different kinds of music. So thank you. God bless you.
All right, Trish. Thanks so much.
Thank you. We'll see you soon.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay, good.
All right.
Good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Kyle Wolverton, everybody. Woo, mercy sakes alive. Thank you so much for being here today. I see Karenza Gray pulled into the chat room, and Griselda, and Beach, and Matt, and our guests who have come back and forth. I even got a few calls on the cell phone. Thank you so much for everything. Have a great weekend, and we have a little surprise for you next week. Yay! We'll keep you posted about Kyle Wolverton, too. God bless. Be safe.